any bad flooding at all?
If we say in May, which is a critical time when all the birds are roughly in there starting to lay or having starting to incubate, and we get a very low barometric pressure, that's a storm. And if it comes right on a spring tide, where the tides are going to be high anyway, but then you get, if the pressure drops, you'll get a 2 to 2.5 foot rise, like, immediately. And in that case, they will be washed. And if it's rough, it will wash them, and it wash the eggs away. And if the eggs are incubated, well incubated, they float. Initially, if they're not incubated, they'll stay on the bottom and stay there. Even if they were washed away, they would stay in the nest or in the indentation. But if they're, once they're incubated, they float. Did you know that? All eggs, yeah. And so then they would float away and end up on our beach here. We've had eggs here with the piping chicks inside. And there's no way I've taken up. Well, then you'll get the birds or the chicks in here, the same little day-old chicks, and the birds will come and feed them. I've had people come and take them. Why don't you leave them alone? Leave them there. The parents are feeding them. Couldn't you see them screeching overhead, especially along under Inch Street where it's more protected? And I've said, leave them where they are. The parents will come. And they know their own egg. And they will, even if the egg gets dry, when the tide drops, they would even sit on it. They will. They know their, all birds know that. Any birds in a colony, like rooks or gulls, know their own egg. Any bird that breeds in a colony, because they're all marked differently, and they must have photoelectric cells in their brain, which says, that's mine. You know, like animals in the wild, the same. And they do. Sheep know their own lambs, don't they? Mums and dads know their own kids. Exactly the same kind of thing. So, but they'll follow them when they're washed out, especially if they're well incubated. You know, and the chicks are almost ready, say, a few days from hatching. They will follow them, or the chicks themselves. But that happens, but not every year, but it happens now and again, and there's a real washout. Yeah. But then the black-headed gull, even after we finish, will lay two clutches and have two sets of chicks. Oh yeah, in its time, in the summer months. Yeah. Because at our time, we do have to finish at a certain time, and it gives them ample time to rear two broods if they want. So if they lose them 1 year, they can make up the next year. But that's nature, and they do that.
How to decide how many eggs to collect? Does it depend?
No, the ministry decides that, and I give a relative figure on my application, because I have to apply every year, a license, and say so much. And well, for two years, they said half the figure and but half the date. So when it came to, I didn't make enough to pay anything, to pay my telephone bill, let alone anything else. And so, and we had quite a little argument up there. And so they agreed to go back to the former. Yeah, every other person in the area, fishermen and people in Livington elsewhere, were allowed to collect them up to the 15th of May. And they weren't even doing that. They weren't wardening or doing anything, just getting the eggs to sell for money. I'm not blaming them for that. But I, as a warden who had to do 5 months' work for £200, was expected to finish 10 days earlier than anyone else. I thought it was utterly ridiculous. And so the authorities agreed with me in the end, and so they ordered it back. God knows what it'll be this year. I've applied for it as the same as last year. It was the two previous years of that when I was restricted. And I'm hoping they'll give me to the 15th this year. If they don't, if they say the 10th, I'm going to have to ring English Nature and say, sorry, you must do it yourself, because I could not survive. I cannot run the sanctuary and my petrol, my boats and everything, my phone and all my expenses, my car, because I have to use that sometimes. I mean, if I go from Exbury Creek, if it's blowing a hurricane here, I have to go up from Extra year, I drive along there with my rubber dinghy. I've got an old beat up Cortina estate. I don't mind. It goes well. And I go along there and I go out from a creek there and I can drag my rubber dinghy out in the mud. I know how to get there. I can do it. I've got various means and ways of getting it, but I've got to have the equipment to do it, as well as my rents and everything. But if they do restrict me, then I'll have to say, well, you have to do it yourself. I'm sorry. But what'll happen? I don't know till I get the official letter yet. So let's see. Who knows, I may retire gracefully. Yeah.
So, can you remember any unusual incidents that have happened while you've been a warden here at the sanctuary?
Well, just a funny thing, a couple of years ago, we had a horse on there early morning. Well, I'd seen it. I rang the harbour master, and I rang our head warden then, it was there. But the next thing was that I rang the keeper as well. He said, leave it with me, I'll go out and drive it off. And I will say, I said this, I said, well, shoot the thing, like laughing. I meant shoot over it, you know, if you fire a shot, drive it off. It was a young half-grown horse. belonged to one of the local people, and it shouldn't have been there. It got across through a fence up at Needs Oil. But anyway, a chappie heard this, he heard me say this, and he rang the police. And the next thing is, we had everything on this, you know, thinking that Joe Spenning was going to shoot a horse or somebody else was. But you know what, we had to get I got Bill Grinley in the gang. I said, if you get down your dory, Bill, that's the harbour master, and I'm sure you can get it off, or it's a half-grown thing, or drive it off. But anyway, due to this other thing, somebody alerted the helicopter service, and we got a helicopter to lift it out. Nick, I don't know. The people waved the claim. It would have been 16 or 18,000 quid, but it was an operation. They put it down as an exercise, so the charge was waived. But those are some of the. That's a little thing that can happen. Things like that. I have said lots of other things where people have landed with local people have landed. Said, oh, we always come here. I said, if you had always come here, you'd have been in jail by now with a dog on amongst litter turns, a dog and their two kids, these people, local people in the river, had a house on Bewley Estate. I rang Bewley and they threatened them if they did it, their boat would be everything removed from the river. Yeah, that soon stopped them. Yeah, but I had a few people like that, incredible. Yeah. I did say it's on a tape somewhere, but I said it in a film. That, I was one morning up there and I've got a mini glass in there, a little prismatic monocle. Hanging my necks, and I was doing it, and I saw this chap land with a dog. I saw him come off a yacht, and I thought, I got this little glass and held it still, and I could see this boat. And when I looked at the boat, I thought, I could see the name on it, and it had Rumbuster. I thought, oh, blasted naval type, you know. And anyway, I knew what I was doing, and I got off of my dory, went up, and this chap had got back to his yacht. And I went along, he'd gone down below, and the dog was sat on deck, and I knocked the hull, I said, ahoy, Rumbuster, and up came this laddie, and I said, excuse me, my name's Spedding, told him what I was, everything, you've broken the law, you've landed by that day glow notice with your dog, it says no landing, bird sanctuary, specific, and you've landed, I've got rare birds there, which had hit us some turns right near it. I said, I'm obliged to say to you that I require your name and address by law as the appointed board, so on and so on. And he said, Admiral Williams. And I said, I thought the first requirement in joining the Navy was to be able to read. Well, the notice, it was specific. You could see it from his boat, even, it said that. And he was so dumbfounded. His wife came up, I'll have to have a drink. And honestly, they were alarmed. I said, well, I'm reporting it to the authorities, and it's up to them. But, you know, they didn't prosecute him. But I think he must have given a few bob. Well, we've had people before this who've said, well, we're sorry, we'll pay something into them, some fund. Not to me, but to whatever what people decide on. But it's incredible, isn't it? In bold black letters on orange day glow, huge notice, no landing, and it lands with his dog and let it do what it wanted to do and run about. You're either blind or mad if you do that, aren't you? It didn't come back in the river. But I was so delighted to say it to him, I thought, the first one. But he said, Admiral. But within a week, I caught a chap out here, anchored on one of the cables, and on there it's got danger, power cables, off Stone Point. I've just lost one of the poles there. I had to go out with divers the other day to try and find it. Anyway, it's missing. It's been dragged away by a boat tied on it, I suppose. But anyway, this chap was there, and he had this boat, and he borrowed it. And when I asked him his name, I said, do you know, there's 132,000 bogs 10 feet below you. Oh, my God, he said. And I said, well, don't do anything mad. I'll decide what to do. I tied alongside. He started to put his chain. I said to his wife, start the motor. We're running ahead. Oh, we had a couple of whiskies first. And he's running ahead. I said, slowly. And the old boy stopped. He said, oh, that's not like that. So I held a hand at the woman. She stopped. She lay back in the tide on the anchor. And honestly, he said, I've got a pacemaker. I said, what the hell didn't you say then? Anyway, I got aboard, tied my dory alongside properly, and I said, I signaled her to come ahead. I said, when I say stop, you stop. I got over it, and I said, come on a little bit and run just slowly ahead. And we tripped the anchor out, and I shot off to the side of him, managed to get it. I got it up. Thank God for that, I said. The old boy said, oh, thank God. Come on here, you know, have a few quid, you know. So we had a few whiskies. And honestly, I said, I do require your name, by law, please. He said, this other was Admiral Williams. What did he say his name was? I'll tell you in a minute. He wasn't an admiral, he was the next best thing. Not captain. You bet Swiss. Oh, I've just had to think of his friends, isn't it? Yeah. Or something. I can't remember if it was Evans or not, but Commodore so and so. I said, good God, what did it say? He said, I know. Within a few days, I thought two naval types, flaunting the rules. It was incredible, wasn't it? God dear, I thought, how do you win in this life? But that's what it's like. I mean, I caught some men early, but one of them had a license to fish in the river here. Specific fishing only, got thrown out there because I found him doing something. But he'd landed to get eggs with his father-in-law, and they had a bucket full each, and he said, I only wanted a feed for breakfast. Now, how idiotic. If you wanted a feed, you'd want a few in a dish, wouldn't you? But they had a bucket full each. Anyway, he tried to get away in his dory, and I ran in the back of him, and I hit his hand on his motor. He was trying to start it, taught him a lesson. Anyway, I just waited a little time, and I found out what he was doing, and I got him thrown off, out of the place. He turned out to be an utter crook, and he is. He got arrested. He ran a boat down off the Isle of Wight, went round the East Coast herringing without a licence. He's done everything locally. He's cheated and thieved, but I've had them all up there doing the best and the worst. Made life interesting. But the one thing when you do this wardening, you don't, they're all treated the same. You don't, because they're this, they're rich or poor, either. They break the law, they can read, they're adult, then they've got to suffer. As far as I'm concerned, they know very well what they're doing. And let's face it, the law's specific. So I know it sounds awful, but there are a lot of nice people who come and interested and ask how they're doing. There are lots and lots of nice people come and ask. And look, they just anchor in the river, but they just look with their glasses and see them, because you can see them all with a good pair of binoculars. It's not necessary to land unless you're going to do a count like me of the egg clutches or something. Otherwise, it's not necessary to go and even interfere with them, because you can see them.